Hello, everyone. I'm Casey Loffman, Editor-in-Chief of Food Engineering. Thank you for joining me for the Food Engineering Podcast. My guests for this episode are Saul Alarcon, agronomist, and Javier Garrido, software engineer for the Morningstar Company. And we're going to be discussing how AI plays a role in their operations, both now and in the future. Saul, Javier, thank you for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Hey, Casey. Great honor. Thank you very much for having us.
And Javier, I'd like to start with you. Can you give us a little bit of an overview of how Morningstar is using AI right now and how you're applying it and some of the benefits that you've seen?
Yeah, sure. So this term, right, AI, artificial intelligence, is a term that that kind of gets thrown around a lot nowadays. So it encompasses a broad range of different technologies. I'd say in our specific case, in Morningstar, the work that Saul and I do is mostly inside of a sub company that's called Gradient, right? And it's assigned essentially to help the growers through technology and data manage their crops and do a better job, so that at the end of the year they get a better result in their yields, right? So using artificial intelligence in there is essentially there's a lot of options, I'd say, right? So we've looked at how we can go about using artificial intelligence with vision, right? Looking at some of the information that we can get from aerial imaging in the fields to understand exactly what these types of colors or chlorophyll content really means inside of the crops. We've looked at using machine learning and expert systems essentially to understand if we're getting all this information back from the sensors that we have in the field. How does this information really all tie together to give us a clear picture of what is actually happening in the field? So I'd say using it in both of those areas is probably the area that we're starting with. But of course, as I'm sure you and your listeners know, there's broad applications, right? We're talking about there's robotics that we haven't approached. There's a planning and organization that you could do with AI in terms of even irrigation scheduling long term or other things like that. So a lot of opportunities, I'd say.
And so, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, basically, one of the approaches that we are trying to follow here is the integration of several technologies. You know, one technology by itself, it probably won't be enough. And like Javier says, we are exploring right now several options. For instance, right now we are partnering with other companies to create autonomous weeders, you know, and we are working in that area, trying to reduce the use of herbicides and trying to implement these technologies in organic production, for instance. We are also working with them, trying to use equipment that is gonna be do precision spraying for wheat, so we don't spray as many herbicides or as much herbicides in conventional production. Harvesting automation, that's another area where we are exploring. As Javier said, now we are trying to understand how the plants can communicate to us through algorithms. If they are under stress or they need more irrigation or less irrigation, satellite images or aerial images are also part of this equation. And also we are now trying to explore how can we automate fertilization monitoring. So we are just getting into a big program here, and that's something that I wanted to kind of explain in general terms.
Right, and that's such an interesting point you made there about the crops kind of reporting what they need, because as an agricultural company, you have to deal with all the different environmental conditions and different growing conditions and all of that. It's not a sealed environment, so to speak. So many things can change depending on how much rain you've been getting, what the weather's been like, all of that. So you're exploring ways to have the plants report to you what they need and then automatically meeting those needs. Is that right?
Yes, that is correct. So the normal practice, the conventional practice is you go with you know, weather data, and you calculate how much water you're gonna need. You know, in some cases, unfortunately, there are some farmers that they react until they see the plant that is wilting, and they react and they increase their hours of irrigation or the frequency of irrigation. But one of the advantages we see now in our technology is that you can detect levels of stress way before you see it. You can see it with your eyes. So that is a huge advantage, because now you are taking decisions based on what the plant is telling you and not reacting after the fact. So artificial intelligence, in this case, the algorithms that we calculate, are telling us when to take action before you even see a problem in the field. So that's giving us a huge advantage right now, and we see the benefits of that ahead of time.
Right, and as you mentioned, that ability to respond so quickly, that is a huge advantage, because it can prevent crop loss or things like that, that, you know, if you wait until you can see it by eye, you know, it just might not be soon enough.
That is correct. And that is one of the greatest advantages of infrared technology. And there are many, many areas where these devices, this technology can be utilized. Now, the great advantage of this is that now you can leave it in the ground, and you can use cellular data, communicate that to the cloud. In general terms, you can see that real time. So you can see that the same day or the next day, and you can take action immediately. And it is interesting to understand also that infrared has been used since a long time, since the early 70s, you know, but now with electronics being more accessible, now the there is an unlimited potential for this technology to help agriculture.
Great. And Javier, you mentioned that, you know, AI encompasses so many different possible technologies and so many different possible ways of doing things. How do you define what it is that you need and then find the right solution for that?
Yeah, so that's a very tough question. I'd say in anything as broad and in, as variable as agriculture that essentially involves nature, right? As you mentioned, that has endless changing parameters. I'd say the starting step for something as complex as that is really just to sit down and gather as much data as we possibly can about every aspect of the field, right? So the temperature that we're getting in the air, the relative humidity, the atmospheric pressure, the temperature of the canopy, everything and anything we can possibly gather in terms of data is going to be valuable for us, right? And then once we have all that data, really trying to understand what we can gain from that, right? So there's a couple key things. Obviously, if you're looking at the amount of water that's evaporating, or the vapor pressure deficit, the temperature in the air, you could use that data, of course, to develop some machine learning, artificial intelligence models, and help it guide your decision in terms of when do I need to come in with more irrigation, when do I need to back off, right? Because you also don't want to drown the field. And in the same way, using data for the transpiration of the plants, you can essentially determine how close am I to being ready to harvest this field, right? Is this field mature yet? Do I need to give it a couple more weeks? What stage of the crop life are we really at to better understand it, whether or not we need to get in there to harvest, or if we still need to give it some more time? So there's a lot of different avenues, but really it's the key is gathering as much data as possible and then figuring out what we can do with that data.
Right, and that's such an important point, because we've seen so many food and beverage companies that, you know, they've started doing this mass data collection or things like that, but then they don't really know what to do with it because they don't really have a good way to manage it. So they just, instead of using it to make informed decisions, they're just kind of drowning in it. But it sounds like you've come up with a good way to say, okay, here's the data that we have, and here's how we can actually use that data in a way that'll help us make these good decisions.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like we're reinventing the wheel, right? This data has been used widely to take these types of decisions. It's really just incorporating this new technology that's become available, this artificial intelligence models, the machine learning, the expert systems, and letting the computer do the heavy lifting for you, right? Instead of having to have a human in the back with years and years of experience that understands these numbers, look at them and come up with a decision, you essentially know, hey, I have all this data and I know that this data correlates to, for example, this many hours of irrigation. Then I can just use the artificial intelligence model to take that decision for me and spit that result out. And that way you don't really need somebody that has 10 years of experience to be able to manage a field, right? It essentially brings the level of knowledge required to be able to handle agriculture correctly in your field down. It simplifies, right? Because you let the computer do the heavy lifting.
You know, that's such an interesting point that I don't think I've ever really thought of before. You know, we think about how can we use AI to do our jobs in a more efficient way. But as you mentioned there, it also opens up a broader range of candidates of people to be able to do the jobs. Because as you mentioned, you don't need quite as extensive experience when you've got this really powerful data and AI helping you out.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say in a field like agriculture, the way things have been done in the past has literally just been, it's almost like a gut feeling reaction from all these experts that have been doing it for so long that they just understand natively what the different tweaks and the different values and the data really mean. And so for somebody that's coming in new to that, that's going to require years and years of training, right, with somebody that has that expertise to be able to handle it. But if you can just create an algorithm like this or use a tool like Gradient that we work on, essentially it simplifies all that and lets everybody be involved in the picture and understand the decisions that are being taken instead of just relying on one or two people that are highly knowledgeable and experienced, right? It brings the barrier of entry down for agriculture, I'd say.
Great. And, you know, you mentioned Gradient there, and I'd like to explore that a little bit. And, you know, of course, Morningstar is, you know, the largest tomato processor in the world. And then you also have the Gradient Crop Yield Solutions, which is a Morningstar entity that is working on sharing some of this technology, some of these best practices with other industries, so to speak, you know, not just tomatoes, but also looking at things such as, you know, almonds or pistachios or things like that. So Old, I'd like to start with you. How did that come about and how are you looking at the best way to do that?
Morningstar needed to improve the quality of the tomatoes. You know, we needed, there was a need for provide technical support to our farmers. So one of the first priorities was to develop irrigation practices that could help the growers to optimize water usage and try to improve the quality, improve the soluble solids, which is the bricks. So the goal was to, yes, increase yields, but also increase the quality and quantity of fruit. As we went through the research project, you know, trying to find the best technologies that we could use, we found the infrared technology, soil moisture sensors, and other devices. And we finally created a system that demonstrated that growers could do better in terms of yields and quality. We helped the growers to increase yields 2 or 3 tons better while optimizing water usage. And then when that happens, the farmers started asking, can we use your technology in other crops? You know, so that's when we started to open up outside our own industry. You know, we are now in almost, as you say, I guess because some tomato growers sort of have almond fields and pistachio fields. And now, you know, we are exploring these markets, and we are in the process of releasing our service commercially in pistachios by 2022. We are already in almonds. We are doing really, really good. Growers are pretty happy with this. So that's basically how we ended up providing services in other crops, different than tomatoes.
And so one of the things that all of these crops have in common that we've discussed here is they're all very water intensive, and water is a big concern in the Western United States, especially in California. So how are you using Gradient and some of your other technologies to help manage the amount of water required to grow and harvest these crops?
Yes, that is an excellent question. One of the things that we are doing now with Gradient is to work with growers and try to understand what is, first of all, their normal practices. And we are finding out that in some cases, growers are tending most of the time to over-irrigate. And through all this information we are generating with soil moisture sensors, with the pre-stress algorithm, we are now telling the grower how much water they really need, you know, how frequent they need to irrigate. And in some cases, believe it or not, the grower was basically falling short in their irrigation. So the system is helping growers in both ways. The one that over irrigating, they are optimizing water. And on the other hand, there are some growers that actually needed to apply more water to increase production. So it was both ways. So for instance, one of the crops that utilize a lot of water is almonds. And we've seen that in some cases, growers are starting to save around 15 to 20% water usage. We are still working with them. And the other opportunity that we see here is that there is a limit in water allocation for some growers here in Central California. So they are basically working with us, trying to understand, you know, how to manage and strategically the water in their crops. They are trying to irrigate only what is needed and try to stretch their irrigation program through the year. So that's where how Gradient is helping them, is just to strategically move water around and be more efficient with the usage.
Okay, and then Javier, from the technology side, what has been the process for using Gradient and looking at some of these possible technologies and saying, okay, we think this is going to work, this is not going to work, and, you know, making those best decisions about what applications to use to meet your goals?
Yeah, it's really been a trial and error process, right? It's been a lot of research. What ends up happening is that we come in and we know what is used as a standard in the industry, right? We'll start with evapotranspiration, which has been the standard for a lot of years, and we'll look at the recommendations that using a technology like that would imply. And once we see those recommendations, then we really start applying the other technologies, right? So you use the evapotranspiration as a baseline, if you want, for how much water to apply and when, and then you can also look at the amount of moisture you have in your soil, right? And whether or not the water that you're applying is going to be available to the plant in the specific root zones. You could also look at the weather forecast that you have for the week. And so determining whether or not it's going to be a very intensive week in terms of the demand or not. And then the last, really the key critical parameter, I'd say that guides our decision is how is the crop actually doing, right? What is the stress level of the crop at the current moment? And so using some of these algorithms that we developed essentially allows you to it sounds silly, and I know it's an internal joke with Saul and I, but it allows you to communicate directly with the plants, right? It lets you understand, okay, I know what the weather is saying, and I know how my soil looks, but the key parameter is really how does the plant feel? Does the plant need more or less water? And so using all of these different tools, it's essentially like a puzzle. You grab all these pieces, you put them together, and at the end of the day, you end up with a picture that says, hey, this is how you want to optimize your water. We know it's a scarce year and you don't have a lot of it, but maybe you apply a little bit more here and don't apply as much as you're doing here. It's really a balancing game at the end of the day.
Right. Okay. And now I'd like to kind of take a look forward. And so Olin, I'm going to start with you. But what do you see as the next step? Or maybe, you know, what's your goal for the next evolution of what you're doing with artificial intelligence?
I think that, you know, and we have been discussing this within our group, that the next step will be to have information more real time. You know, with right now we are getting information, we gather information during the day, and we see that the next day, because you need to understand, you know, you need to gather all these numbers, what happened within a period of time, and then at the next day you see what you need to do based on the data from the previous day. And I think that a more real time system that can tell us at the moment, okay, what do I need to do at this moment? What kind of decisions can I take right now? This is probably the next step. The other aspect that I see coming up really strong, if you will, is satellite imaging. It is incredible how now the images coming out from satellites have improved. You know, the level of detail is getting better. And I think that eventually we might be able to take some decisions or part of the decisions based on satellite images. There is a lot of technologies that are coming up. You know, I was even reading about reading the DNA of soils to understand, you know, what is the level of microbes we have, the fertilizer we have. So the future is really, really promising. And I think that accuracy probably will be something that we need to ensure we have as we go into more, you know, complex agriculture production systems.
And Javier, what about you? What do you see as the next big thing? You know, what's on your wish list?
I think applying this artificial intelligence model to a bunch of different crop types has been something that's been incredible for us. Obviously, looking at tomatoes and almonds, but even approaching pistachios and dates and peppers and all these other crops that are out there that need just as much help. I'd say we touched on it a little bit earlier, but some of the autonomous weeding solutions, right? The laser-based weeding solutions using artificial intelligence machine learning models to determine in the field, hey, is this a weed? Yes. Okay, then zap it really quick with a laser to get rid of it. That of course is gonna be a huge help to some of the labor shortages. Autonomous harvesting, even just having the tractors that are out in the fields be able to essentially do the harvest on their own and be more efficient in that regard. And that's just talking about the agricultural side. If you look at even inside the factories, there's a ton of opportunity for improvement. I mean, automated warehousing and storage, right? That's a logistical nightmare. So being able to use AI to alleviate some of those pains would be huge. There's a lot of options. So it's a very bright future, very exciting for us and specifically for agriculture, right? Applying technology is huge.
Yeah, definitely some exciting technologies on the horizon, and really looking forward to seeing how some of these are applied. That's all the time we have for questions for this episode, so please join me in thanking Saul Alderkorn and Javier Garrido from the Morningstar Company for joining me. I'm Casey Loffman, Editor-in-Chief of Food Engineering. This has been the Food Engineering Podcast. Thank you for listening.